Well, thank you, Mr. Coons. Great is thy faithfulness. I think for a lot of us, that is our favorite hymn because of how faithful God is in so many different ways. In the book of Matthew, in chapters 5, 6, and 7, there's some amazing truths about the way that we live and the blessings that we will receive because of the way that we live, because we are God's children and we live according to his instructions and the things that he says we need to do. There are also some absolutely amazing statements about what we are in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Then some explanation as to what is actually involved for this, for God's people. Today, let's take a look at the first you are statement. And for the title, let's use the actual words from verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. To better understand what Christ meant, we could first just take a look at what some of the physical properties are for salt and then make a connection with the spiritual analogies. When we look into the properties of salt, we find some very interesting things. There are at least 10 different types of salt. Each looks slightly different, each tastes slightly different, and each has a unique application different from the others. Now, we also find differences in their mineral and sodium contents as well. All 10 types can actually be used in some of the other different applications that the salts are used in, but each one has a very specific best usage for that particular type of salt. Some uses for salt include, of course, we know as seasoning for food and as a preserving agent as well. Salt can be used for healing wounds, and it can be used for killing vegetation. We also use salt, like salt blocks, to attract deer or to give them some salt in the winter. Although, if I remember correctly, it's against the law to use a salt block to put it out there to trap deer for hunting. But still, it can be used to help the animals as well. In winter, we use salt to ice melt. To melt ice. Or as an ice melt. In the past, it was also used as a form of barter or currency. And in biblical times, God actually instructed salt to be used for sacrifices as well as to ratify covenants. Salt has played a very big part in history in a lot of different ways. We can actually Google the word salt and get an unending plethora of all kinds of information on history of salt, the way it was used, the way it can be used, and also some of the uses for cooking and bartering and so on. And there are also a lot of different books and articles that we can find on the internet and going to the library as well or to bookstores and see about salt. In a book by Mark Kolonsky, he states that it is an ancient mineral cultivated for thousands of years from the northern province of Shanghai, China, to the medieval town of Grenada in Bretagne, France. Salt is found and mined all over the world, including in the United States. In fact, here in Ohio, there is a deep salt mine in the southern part of Akron, not far from Barberton, and there's a very large underground under the lake of Lake Erie salt mine that's actually accessed by the state of Ohio to get into that mine. And that particular salt is used a lot for put on roads. Mark Kolonsky also states that salt is an essential part, and of course we know this, of our diets with so many different types of salt. Knowing how and when to use each one can be a bit daunting, especially if you want to use it for its specific benefit. There are baking salts, cooking salts, and finishing salts as well. There are rock salts and sea salts, and also seasoned salts or smoked salts. There's table salt, and of course we know of kosher salt as well, and others. So let's take a moment and just take a look at a few of the different attributes of salt. One of the most common ones that we're familiar with is iodized salt or table salt. This is probably the most common for us. We will find it in restaurants and at homes on our table. It contains 97 to 99% sodium chloride. But the reason that they call it iodized salt is because today, most salt manufacturers for personal consumption, it is fortified with the mineral iodine. It is actually a very essential mineral for fighting off iodine-related diseases like hypothyroidism. Kosher salt. Kosher salt comes from either the sea or the ground. The name comes from its being used in preparing meats and other foods according to the Jewish dietary laws. And that's something that we're aware of. However, all kosher salt is not certified kosher. There's actually a process that has to go through to make it kosher. It dissolves fast, making it a very good all-purpose salt as well. Hawaiian sea salt. This sea salt can be either red or black. It comes from both in both fine and coarse grains. Red Hawaiian sea salt gets its color from alfea. It's a natural mineral found in volcanic baked red clay. Black Himalayan sea salt gets its color from charcoal. Hawaiian sea salt is used in all sorts of cooking, but mostly in cooking meats, seafoods, or even pork. Himalayan salt. It is hand-mined from sea salt deposited in the Karayan salt mines in Pakistan. It is considered the purest salt in the world. It is used for health applications, for example, health spa treatments. The colors range from a deep red through different shades of pink to a very bright white. It can be, it can hold specific temperatures for a very, very long time. Because of this, holding temperatures for a long time, Himalayan salt is hand cut into blocks and used to plate foods. These slabs are used for things like ice cream. It could be holding cold temperatures for a long time, so they'll serve ice cream or cold fruits on the salt. Also for holding enough heat for not just serving hot food and keeping it hot, but actually it'll hold enough heat that it can be used to cook food, meats or vegetables, or even fish. Now another one is black salt. The color is actually kind of a grayish, pinkish gray, and it is mined in India and has a strong sulfuric smell to it. It is commonly used in Southeast Asia to spice up foods, and a lot of chefs use it because it leaves an eggy kind of flavor when they use it in food. And there are other salts as well, like pickling salt, smoked salt, seasoned salt, flake salt, salt that actually becomes kind of flaky. Zalgiris, it's French for a gray salt found in France. Also gros salt, it's another type of French sea salt. And fleur de sel, found in Grenada, Brittany. It's known as flower of salt. This is just a small taste, so to speak, of the physical salt that we're all aware of and some salts that we're not aware of. So let's now take a look at some of the spiritual applications for salt. There are over 40 different scriptures that make reference to salt. One of the best known, I think, for all of us is found in Genesis 19, where Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Christ was not referring to us as being the salt of the earth to be used for seasoning food or preserving things, not even for a bartering tool or to use to melt ice. Let's read what he said in the book of Matthew. The reference that he made is basically for spiritual blessings, using a physical metaphor, Matthew chapter 5. Before we look at the references to our being salt, let's start in verse 1 and see how Christ sets up the blessings of salt by showing what blessings there are when we, as God's children, live the way we're supposed to. We'll read Matthew 5, verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the easy-to-read version, starting in verse 1 of Matthew 5. When Christ saw the crowd of people, there he went up on the hill and sat. He sat down. His followers came and sat next to him. Then Jesus began teaching the people, and he said in verse 3, "Great blessings belong to those who know they are spiritually in need. God's kingdom belongs to them. Great blessings belong to those who are sad now. God will comfort them. Great blessings belong to those who are humble. They will be given the land God promised. Great blessings belong to those who want to do right more than anything else. God will fully satisfy them. Great blessings belong to those who show mercy to others. Mercy will be given to them. Great blessings belong to those whose thoughts are pure. They will be with God. Great blessings belong to those who work to bring peace. God will call them his sons and daughters. Great blessings belong to those who suffer persecution for doing what is right. God's kingdom belongs to them." Then he explains what to expect. "People will insult you and hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. But when they do that, know that great blessings belong to you. Be happy about it. Be very glad, because you have great reward waiting for you in heaven. People do the same bad things to the prophets who lived before you. Now Christ tells us what we are and what happens when we don't live as we should. Verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, it cannot be made salty again. Salt is useless if it loses its salty taste. It will be thrown out where people will just walk on it." What did Christ mean by this? If we look into the Barnes commentary, we can see what he writes about Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth. Salt renders food pleasant and palatable and preserves from putrefaction. So Christians, by their lives and instructions, are to keep the world from entering moral corruption by bringing down the blessings of God in answer to their prayers, and by their influence and example, they save the world from universal vice and crime. So we are to be, by example of the way we live, to be a blessing. And when they," meaning people, "ask why it is that we have such hope and why we live the way that we do, we can actually explain to them God's way and his gospel, the gospel of God. There is also a blessing to others that we associate with because of the way that we live our lives, our families, our people that we mingle with, relatives, co-workers, even our neighbors. How could that be? For one thing, there is a peace that actually is around us, and there is a protection of our family members that are not baptized, and God tells us that, our children and our unconverted mates. Sometimes people like just being around us and talking to us. Then Barnes goes on to explain the next portion of the verse, "salt having lost its savor." That is, if it has become tasteless or has lost its preserving properties, the salt used in this country, he goes on to say, is a chemical compound, chloride of sodium. And if the saltiness were lost, or it were to lose its savor, there would be nothing remaining. It enters into that very nature of the salt that's there. In Eastern countries, however, the salt used was impure or mingled with vegetables or with earthly substances, so that it might lose the whole of its saltiness. And a considerable quantity of earthly matter remains after the salt loses its savor. this was good for nothing when that happens, except that it was used to place in paths or walks, just as we use gravel. This kind of salt is commonly still used in that part of the world. It is found in the earth in veins or in layers, and when exposed to the sun and or rain, loses its saltiness entirely. That's interesting, if you think about it, that we are told to come out of the world. As the earth weakens the salt, if we don't come out of the world will weaken us as well. Dr. Thomas, in his book, The Land and the Book, Volume 2, pages 43 and 44, he writes, "I have often seen just such salt and the identical disposition of it in our Lord has that our Lord has mentioned. A merchant of Sidon, having farmed of the government and revenued from the importation of salt, brought over an immense quantity from the marshes of Cyprus, enough, in fact, to supply the whole province for at least 20 years. This he had transferred to the mountains to cheat the government out of some small percentage." That's amazing. You think about that. He took 20 years worth of salt for that whole province, and he was trying to just cheat the government out of a small percentage. So that's a lot of salt that was being shipped around all over. 65 houses were rented to fill with salt. These houses were merely earthen floors, and the salt next to the ground in a few years had entirely spoiled. I saw large quantities of it literally thrown into the street to be trodden underfoot by people and beasts. It was good for nothing. It should be stated in this connection that the salt used in this country is not manufactured by boiling clean salt water or quarrying it from mines, but is obtained from marshes along the seashore, as in Cyprus, or from salt lakes in the interior, which dry up in the summer, as the one in the deserts north of Palmyra and the Great Lake of Jebel, southeast of Apollo. When this salt becomes corrupted, it is worthless. For us, if we become corrupted by the world, its ways, and its attitudes, we lose our effectiveness and become worthless. Mandrell continues, "So troublesome is this corrupt salt that it is carefully swept up, carried forth, and thrown into the street where no there is no place in the house for it, in the yard or in the garden where it can be tolerated. No man will allow it to be thrown into his field, and the only place for it is in the street, and there it is cast to be trodden under foot of men." So it is for us. If we fall away, stop living the way God wants us to live, stop living his way of life, turning our backs on God and on his way, that's what can happen. Now, God is very patient. He's a patient God, and we know that. We should be very thankful for that. But if time goes on, he will not tolerate us as part of his family when we have lost our savor. The Clark commentary puts it this way: "You are the salt of the earth. Our Lord shows here that the preachers of the gospel and all that profess to follow him should be the salt of the earth, to preserve the world from putrefaction and destruction." Clark goes on to say later, "A preacher or a private Christian who has lost the life of Christ and the witness of his spirit out of his soul may be likened to this salt. He may have the sparkle and the glittering pieces of truth and wisdom, but without its comfort. Only that which is connected with the rock, the soul that is in union with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, can preserve its savor and be instrumental of good to others." This is to say that anyone who has once been a part of God's family and his body and has had God's Holy Spirit, once they turn their back on God, stop living his way, fall away and stop following God's instructions, the life that was once part of them now becomes worthless. Then Christ spoke these things. When Christ spoke these things, there was also throughout the Bible an unspoken intention for all of us to plumb the depths of his teachings. Part of our studying God's words to be able to gain a greater understanding of what he is talking about and how to apply these things in his teachings to our lives, to live the way he wants us to, and to be examples to others, and to know how to be examples to others. So how do we do that? How do we live and show that we are the salt of the earth? We do this by the way that we live and the way that we speak. It is part of our character. We sometimes hear that when someone is a very honest individual, is not a hypocrite in any way, lives and speaks with humility, is helpful to others, considers others in all different ways better than themselves, that is, they're very selfless, they are tagged as being the salt of the earth. Remember hearing that? That individual is the salt of the earth. When we live as the Christian life, this can be the way that we are examples to others and the example that we set. A good reminder of the value that was placed on salt is passed down to us today in the comments that a man is worth his salt. That comes from the custom that actually going way back to the Roman soldiers who were paid in salt. Our English word salary comes from the Latin word salarium, meaning salt money. When we as children of God stop living a Christian life, stop doing as we should, it can be said of us, we are not worth our salt. If we are not worth our salt, we will not receive eternal life. And if we start to think about that, that could be a very sobering thing to think about. Just like was mentioned in the first message, there's a rut that we need to follow, the right rut. And if we get out of that and follow the wrong rut, that's sobering as well, that we shouldn't follow in the wrong path, but the right path. So how do some of the common uses of salt metaphorically show us how we are to be the salt of the earth? Let's take a look at that. Again, salt is used as a seasoning. It is used as a preserving agent. Salt can be used to heal wounds as well, or to melt ice. It can be used to kill vegetation like weeds. And, of course, it's used to feed animals like deer, the salt blocks. We won't cover all of the items that salt could be used for on this particular list. In fact, deliberately, I don't want to do that, not just for time, but to give us an opportunity, hopefully, to plant the seed so that we can go back and study the depths of this and take a look at some of the other uses that salt is for us and then apply, plumb the depths and apply them into our own spiritual life. So how do we reflect some of the uses of salt? As a seasoning, we are to bring a kind of joy to life, to have the zest for living and as we interact with others in a way that brings to them kind of a spice of life. It takes an effort on our part to do that. This is part of our outward concern for others. This includes our attitude as well, and as we relate with and respond to others in different situations. They will know us because of the love that we show to each other. When we consider what seasonings are in our lives, we remember such enjoyable activities as doing things together with families and with others, getting together with folks at church, doing things that are very special, planning for them and completing them, being parts of conversations. And not just saying, hi, how are you, but actually getting into a conversation and leaving, knowing that that was very enjoyable. And deliberately getting together. We're not supposed to stay away from fellowshipping with each other. The same holds true in our spiritual life. Christ-centered activities, though, do not need to be large groups. where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We find that in Matthew 18, verse 20. Visiting, calling people, staying in touch, the spice of life is delivered through with and for others what we do. And one major component, again, is our attitude. We all know folks who have great attitudes, and it doesn't matter if things are very tough on them. We know that they're going through difficulties or we're going through difficulties. But because of the way that they respond, there's a positive element to that. And when we want to be with them and we want to talk to them because they can actually encourage us. And a lot of times we've heard of going to visit somebody at the hospital and we would like to encourage them. But because of the type of person that they are, they leave us being encouraged as well. That's part of being the salt of the earth. And of course we know some people, they're not quite that way, not so much, are they? Another use of salt is as a preservative. How do we, as the salt of the earth, reflect this? When salt is used to preserve food, the effort reduces the spoiling of the salt, the rotting and the smelling. For example, beef jerky. And, of course, back during the Oregon Trail and the move out west, a lot of food was actually preserved using salt. It was a very important aspect to the plans of surviving as they went west. As Christians, we can affect others by influencing the way they respond to society and the events that are going on around them, in part by their seeing our response to the things that we're going through or our response to the way that they are going through things, but also by our voice, the way that we speak, our demeanor. Some situations need a peaceful attention because they're not very peaceful at the time. We can be a stabilizing force for situations, helping to preserve a godly way of life, of doing things. And, of course, that's with God's help. Salt can also can make one thirsty. Do you remember the saying, in fact, being thirsty, I'll use some salt water. Very good. Thank you, whoever put that there. Salt can make one thirsty. We can all remember the saying, I think, we can lead a horse to water, but we can't make him drink. If the horse is not thirsty, all our efforts, everything we try to do, will not force that animal to drink. It just won't work. In fact, if we're not careful, we can actually make the animal upset. It is the same with people. We cannot force people to want to drink living water. We cannot force people to want to read God's word or make them want to act correctly or to act better or stop doing what they're doing. The creating of a thirst for the truth and the blessings that come from living a godly life is caused by God. God's the one that plants that in their people's minds and in their hearts. But he can and he will use us to show others what a blessing there is in living God's way, for acting the way that we're supposed to and following the way of life that God instructs us to do. And salt can be used in healing. We all know and remember of gargling salt water because of having a sore throat. It kills infections. It can also be used for cleaning wounds. Also, it can be used for soothing deep pain. As children of God, we can be helpful just by listening, encouraging others, and counseling. Not telling them what to do, but being able to point out that the wounds that are being suffered by others, maybe a family is going through something because of a loved one who is doing something, but showing that some of the things that are being suffered are because of sins, and in a way that is helping them to be able to get through a rough situation, and being able to move others to be able to be forgiving of others and also calm, like healing of emotional illnesses because of the situations that people are going through. By what we do and what we say, there can also be a healing effect in a diseased situation that is going on around others, as well as in an environment that we might be in. You know, a simple smile, a genuine smile, can go a long way also to soothe some of the uneasiness that's going on. Again, with God's help, how? By using God's Holy Spirit, the gifts of God, God's gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, we know that's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And we've gone through this many times. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like a preventative medication diffusing a situation that is becoming sick before it becomes a major problem. Of course, asking God to help us be able to see that and then to act in a way that's actually a blessing. Each of the fruits of the Spirit can be a blessing, not just to us, but to others as well, as the situation is needing it, asking God to help us know what type of action we need to show in order to be a benefit and a blessing to others. Now think for a moment of how each one of these different types of fruits of the Spirit can be a blessing as we interact with others. Showing love to someone who is not lovable. Maybe being joyful, having a joyful heart in a moment of loss. Being peaceful in a stressful situation. We might be going through it, or somebody else is going through it, and we're with them, and we're being peaceful because it's a blessing to be able to do that. Showing patience under pressure. Showing kindness to someone who is in need. Offering a good-natured reply when we are under attack, or when somebody else is under attack and we happen to be in that situation and we can offer a good-natured reply. Faithfulness to a friend who is suffering. A gentle reply when there is antagonism going on. And, of course, showing self-control all of the time. We affect others by the way we live, living God's way. Now, that doesn't mean that we live a charmed life, that everything is always good and nothing is ever going to go wrong for us. Our response to what is going on with us, as well as what is going on with others, will cause others to notice there is something special about the way we live our lives, and they will notice that. Their reaction could very well be affected by ours. There may be a reaction that they have to help others because they see in us and they want to be able to live in such a way as we're showing that we put others first and we see a benefit and they would like to benefit others too. But that's not going to happen unless we show that in us. It needs to be natural. It needs to be a part of us as much as possible. It is our character. It is a very deep, uncorrupted way that we have to have in our life. And as mentioned earlier, a golden part of our personality that shines to others as we live our life. We are to live our life in the moment, the now, present tense, not looking at the past or dreaming about the future. Living our life day by day. We want God to lead us, absolutely. That won't happen if we are living in the past or dreaming about the future but doing nothing or just standing still. God cannot lead us if we are not moving. We are to be found so doing, putting one foot in front of the other and acting and moving forward. We can think of it this way. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, we are, each of us, living in the presence of God. The attitude that we show about whatever it is that we are involved in or whatever is happening around us, whatever is going on around us, it is not only seen by the others that we're around or that happen to see us, it is also seen by God. And his response to us is affected, and his blessings or cursings to us is affected and is determined by the attitude that we have within us, and it shows in our response to our situations. Others see it, but God sees it all the time. He sees our heart. How is this so? How do others see this in us? How do we know we are being effective in living the way that we should? Just as salt and the effects of salt is different from the sweetness of sugar or the bitterness of pepper, so are we, as God's people, different than the rest of the world and the way that they live. Have you ever been with folks and someone starts to talk and there's an off-color joke that's beginning, or God's name is used in vain, or somebody suggests doing something kind of raunchy, hey, this is going to be fun, let's go do this, and all of a sudden their eyes meet yours and they apologize because they know that the way we live is not the way that they are suggesting or the way that they're talking. So they apologize. That is one way that we would know that the way we live our life is actually shining and being noticed by other people. Every event we have, good or bad, is an opportunity for us to display a salt-like response, being the salt of the earth. We are not perfect, but because of this, there are blessings for us, and there are blessings for others as well. The way we live is to be so distinctive that it can affect others, even in the way they react to us. One of the distinctive attributes of salt is that unless it is polluted by dirt or washed, that is diluted and weakened, there is a consistency and sustained strength over time. Years later, it still tastes like salt, and it still acts like salt, and it can still be used as salt is intended to be used. Years later, it is just as good. That same kind of consistency over time should be recognized in us as well. In order for us, for you and for me, to be the salt of the earth, we need to stay close to God every day. We were called to be living with a purpose. God has given us a purpose, a way to live. Called now to be the first fruits, we are to be the salt of the earth. When we realize what it means to Christ to call us the salt of the earth, there should be a very strong sense in us of encouragement and a determination deep inside to want to continue to live as the salt of the earth and to be as God's called children. And when Christ returns to set up his kingdom, he can say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into eternal life."